two people of God. And our Bible teacher is Mark Rumfellow, so let's listen to Mark.
Folks, if you don't see the differences in the ministries that are in the Bible, then you're going to go around in confusion, and that's what you have today, a high level of confusion amongst what's called Christians. And, you know, it's a blessed thing to be able to see this. This just doesn't happen. I mean, this isn't something that just, oh, it's there and blah, blah, blah. This is something that when you see this, the Lord, through the Spirit, has opened your eyes to see this blessed truth. And folks, when you see it, grab a hold of it. Because it's not on every street corner, you understand? I mean, I emphasize the importance that we have here of assembling, not just as fellow saints, but assembling with God's Word rightly divided. And we do have people watching that program, because I run across them all the time. I mean, I was in the bank the other day, and one of the tellers said, oh, so-and-so teller watched you Sunday. I said, really? And she goes, yeah, I watched you Sunday. You were talking about Adam. I said, well, Adam's the start of all the problem. That's why I talked about Adam. And so my point being is that people are watching the program. We have something special here. And we need to acknowledge it. And furthermore, we need to understand it. And that's why we've gone through this process of seeing these things that are just so different. Because the major denominations today, their preaching is to follow Jesus. Well, what better way can a Christian live his life than following Jesus? So they go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it all appears to the outward man that that's a good thing to do. Hey, I've got red letters of Jesus Christ. It's His words. I should follow them. Well, folks, the truth of the book bears out that we're not to follow Jesus after the flesh, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But you got to show that. You have to prove that. Now, what I want to go through today, and some of it is, again, is show you the ministry that the apostles had by the guidance of Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ guiding them. First of all, their calling is very impressive. And I just grabbed a couple here. Look in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. Look in Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Interesting. Go to Matthew chapter 9. Look at Matthew 9. As Jesus, verse 9, Matthew 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And folks, that's exactly how they followed the Lord. It's interesting to note. Two fishers, come follow me. Off they go. Matthew has a job. Not a popular one, but he has one. Come follow me. He arose and he leaves. These people that followed the Lord, both the apostles and all the disciples that followed him, just packed up and left. Whatever they were doing, they packed up and left. Therefore, he instructs them how to live their lives in this ministry that they now have, as in Matthew chapter 6. And I know we've read this before, but it is necessary that we understand the extremes of this ministry. The extremes of this ministry in Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. And then he goes, but lay up yourselves treasures on and on. Go down to verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So he says, don't lay up any treasures. Well, they've left their jobs. There's probably not any treasures there. But it goes further than that. When Jesus Christ, His ministry began here, He called these people, and throughout this ministry, these people followed Him and did no work, no job, no employment. None. So, lay not up treasure would mean that they would turn from the Lord and go back into some type of occupation. So, lay not up treasure, you're not going to work. Then he says, down in verse 35, take no thought for your life, that you shall eat what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Somebody's phone's ringing. Get the phone. Alright, take no thought for your life. And two of these things is what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Isn't it interesting to note that those two things are necessary to sustain you for life? And he's saying, look, take no thought about it. And that word thought is interesting because that word thought carries the understanding of to care or be anxious. Now think about our lives, how anxious we are over certain things. I mean, there are things in our lives that we allow that may be small in nature at the start, but we, through our anxious or taking thought of it, make it so much bigger than what it is. You know, folks, at some point in time, the children of God need to trust in the God that they claim they're children of. Trust in the Lord on these situations. And that's exactly what the Lord's telling them. Take no thought on what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, and He says, what you shall put on. Because, folks, all of that takes money, and they don't have jobs. Don't be anxious about it. Don't let it disturb you. God takes care of the animals. He'll more than well take care of you. God takes care of every creature that He put here on this earth. He can take care of you. And the end result is found down in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Boy, isn't it disturbing to hear the preachers preach on this verse 33 today? If you've ever heard them, it's a show, man. It's talking about how you can live for Jesus and you seek Jesus. You wake up in the morning and, Lord, I'm looking for You. Lord, I want You in my life today because I'm seeking You and I want all these things added unto me. And they never tell the people what the things are. Well, obviously the things are things. It's not a generic word. It's not that it doesn't have any meaning. What are the things? All that they sacrificed in this time in ministry, the jobs they gave up, the food they're not to think about or take care of or be anxious about, the drink, the clothing, all of those things will be added unto them in that kingdom. All of those things. The folks, when they got up and they followed the Lord, all the world was left behind. All of the world was left behind. Look at the other situation that they had to face. Look in Luke chapter 21. Not just the fact that they packed up and left everything. Look in Luke 21. Look in Luke 21, verse 15. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Imagine that. Matthew, come with me. Up, gone. Peter, come with me. Simon, come with me. Up, gone. Left it all. If that isn't enough, he says, don't take any thought, don't get worried or concerned about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to put on. And by all means, don't take a job. This is not job requirement here. And so they just drifted from city to city, and the Lord provided for them. But that's not all there is to this ministry, no. He says, you're going to be hated by all men, and you're going to be, he said, some of you are going to be caused to be put to death for my name's sake. So they're not just looking at having nothing in life. They're looking at going down, it's, you know, the movie that came out, Dead Men Walking. That's exactly what you have here. These men are going to their death. And it's for purpose and reason, and we'll see that in just a minute. He says in verse 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. That word patience is interesting because it carries the understanding of perseverance or endurance. In your patience possess ye your souls. Look over in Matthew chapter 16. When you get Matthew 16, hold that. We'll go to it first. Turn to Matthew 24 just to save a little time here. Matthew 16. And then Matthew 24. Matthew 16. Look in verse 24. Matthew 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work. According to his work. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So then you have the Lord telling them, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? In your patience, you possess your soul. You know what he's saying? In your endurance during this time of trial, you possess your soul. If you turn and go back into the world and get back into the system and go back to work and forsake this ministry, you're going to lose your soul. Those that followed Jesus Christ had to sell all that they had. They had to cut the cord with all society, and they had to go unto their death. I believe in following Jesus myself. No, you don't. Watching these preachers up there talking about, well, what would Jesus do? He'll do something you won't do. His followers did something we're not doing. And why would a man stand up front of his huge congregation and get on television by the thousands and preach about following Jesus when this is a death march taking place here? The Catholics claim a vow of poverty for their priests. They don't know poverty. You understand? The richest denomination in the world doesn't know poverty, trust me. When I was a kid, Catholics took honor and having the priest come to their house and have dinner. Catholics took honor in providing the priest with clothing, taking him golfing, taking him fishing. That's poverty. Would y'all impoverish me a little? About 12:30, I'll be ready to be impoverished with some food, okay? This is being impoverished. This is having nothing. Nothing. And then being told by the one that called you, the Lord, take no thought about it. What is it? Don't worry about it. You see the birds out there fretting over the fact of where we're going to get our water, where we're going to get our food? No, they just go about their day. Many times you wake up in the morning, and there's that mockingbird just singing away. Sometimes on a full moon, they'll sing all night, that old tree right out your window. You think he's concerned about water and food? No, because within himself, he doesn't worry about it. He knows it's provided. Take no thought on these things. But if you turn from it, taking thought about it, if it concerns you to a point where you turn from this, you'll lose your soul. It's through your endurance and perseverance that you possess your soul, he said. Oh, it kind of makes a little sense now, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 24. Another great promise that doesn't get preached on too much today. Matthew 24, verse 9. Just jumping right in here now. I understand I could read the whole chapter, but no. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall try to kill you. No, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. They had to endure to the end, folks. Endure to the end doesn't mean coming to church as often as you can make it. You understand? I mean, when you look at what we're required to do here, you see how simplistic it really is just to make it to church. I have people that say, oh, I was going to be at church, but I just had a lot of things to do at home. How many of you right now have a lot of things to do at home? Does that ever leave? I understand if you've got a job. Oh, wait. We're not supposed to have jobs, right? Oh, that's right. We rightly divide here. If you've got a job and you've got to work today, you've got to work today. But it wasn't so for these people. Fish don't sleep. Well, maybe they do, but they need to be caught. So Peter had to get out there and catch them. But he said, come, follow me. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There was an endurance unto the end. Look in Acts chapter 1. Now we're kind of going to get a little bit ahead of the game here. Acts chapter 1, we'll be reading about the crucifixion has taken place. Jesus Christ was crucified. He was buried and he rose up and he met with the apostles. And we're talking about this time right here, meeting with the apostles right at that time. Okay? Acts chapter 1. Now watch what he says unto them. Verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He says that they're going to receive power. How's that? By the Holy Ghost coming upon them. And he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. That word witnesses is very interesting. Matter of fact, the Greek word is martus. Martus. That's the Greek word. And the English word we get, is martyr. What are they going to be? Witnesses? Or what do you mean, witnesses? They're going to be martyred. Killed for Jesus' name's sake so that they can have life. So that they can possess their soul. They're going to be witnesses. Matter of fact, it's used over in Acts chapter 22. Look in Acts 22, and this is where the Apostle Paul is given an account of himself prior to his conversion. He was Saul the Pharisee. Saul the persecutor, And this is given an account over in Acts 22, and look in verse 17. Acts 22, verse 17. He says, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him say unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am prisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee." And watch this. "And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Let's read verse 20 again, and I'm going to change it up. "And when the blood of thy witness, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by consenting unto his death, and then got the raiments as a trophy." You will be witnesses unto me. Oh boy, what does that mean? We can be witnesses for Jehovah and go door to door and knock on doors and go, "Hi, we're with Jehovah's Witness and here's the pamphlet." No. It's going out, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the name of Jesus Christ, whereby they will be hated and end up being a witness as a martyr. Boy, what a promise. I believe in following Jesus myself. No, you don't. You do it because it fills seats. And what fills seats fills collection plates. Make no mistake about it, folks. They're selling out for dirty money. Make no mistake about it. The only way there's any spiritual happening taking place is by those men that are faithful to preach His Word rightly divided. If you're not doing it, there's an alternative motive involved in it. And I don't apologize for that because it's a truth. There's no reason to apologize for the truth. Stand up to it for a change. Recognize it and take a stand for a change. Get some men with some strong hind legs. Stand up. They're going to their death. They're going to their death. And they knew this. So look at Peter's question in Matthew 19. They knew what they were in for. They knew what they were going through. Look in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew 19, go over to verse 27. "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all." You might want to note, underline that word "all." "And followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, fathers, mother, wife, children, land, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit life, everlasting life." Peter comes up to the Lord and says, "All right, look here. What's in it for me? I mean, come on. We have forsaken all. What's in it for me?" Spoken like a Jew. "What's in it for me? I mean, they realize what the sacrifice is over here. They've listened to His teaching. They've heard what He has to say. So you can't help as a human going, hey, I'm going through all this. What's in it for me?" He says, "The Son of Man will be regenerated." So we come out here, just cancel this out easily like this. We're in this time frame today. this dispensation of grace. It's going to close out resurrection. 7-year trib. I pity the saints at that time. The Lord's going to return, set up His kingdom, sit on the throne for 1,000 years. So He says in the regeneration. Well, folks, Jesus Christ was regenerated through resurrection. He died on the cross and was regenerated through resurrection. So hence, they've got to be regenerated to go in there. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again to see the kingdom. So then, Jesus Christ had to be born again, regenerated, to go into this kingdom. It was a requirement set by God the Father. He had to be regenerated. Therefore, these that followed Him had to be regenerated to see the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. No, Nicodemus, it's not a matter of you going back into your mother's womb and being reincarnated like the people over in India believe, or wherever, or claim they believe. No. It is dying, being buried, and then brought up again, being born again by the Spirit of God. So then these that kept the faith through this time frame, endured unto the end, to their death, they're going to be resurrected into this kingdom over here. Hence, they'll be born again to see the kingdom. But they have to die. Not that they will die. Everybody's going to die. But they have to die for the faith in the name of Jesus Christ. They have to die. You know why I trusted in Jesus Christ personally, myself? Because I am going to die. Trust me. Before I ever trusted in Jesus Christ, I was not one that would go and sit in a church and listen to preaching. If I could flash you back to the late 70s leading up to 1980 when I started coming to church, actually it was late 79, you'd look at me and go, don't witness to him, he'll never be a church person. Because in all honesty, I never was a church person. I hated church. I made fun of church. I did not like church. But you know what? When I heard the gospel, I heard something new to my ears. I heard something that presented something brand new to me that the denominations out there are not teaching, and that's the truth, that you're going to die, and when you die, you either go to hell or you go to heaven, and there ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that thou might be saved. And I trusted Jesus Christ. I was not a church person. I was not a follower of churches. I wasn't a church hopper. I just trusted in the Lord, and from then on, I've hung on to this thing because I am convinced unto my death that this is the truth. You understand? This isn't a hobby of mine. It's not like if y'all get together and form a stoning committee and kick me out, then I'm going to go land at some other church like a coach in the NFL or college football. I ain't popping nowhere else. This is it. You understand? You put your heart and soul into something that where Jesus Christ put His heart, soul, and body in it for you. Why can't we put anything in it for Him? I mean, you look at me, smoking dope, getting drunk, raising Cain. Spare you Christians. I had no desire to go to church. I didn't fit the profile. No, the fact of the matter is I didn't fit religion. I fit the profile. Do you understand? You think Jesus Christ called good men to follow Him? Why, Peter denied Him 3 times. Peter cussed just to separate himself from the Lord. Weren't you the one that was following that Jesus we're fixing to crucify over there? I can tell by your speech, and the Bible says he cussed. It says cursed. And I heard one preacher, because he don't want Peter to sound like the rest of us, he said, no, he was cursing. He was cursing this day by the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Are you kidding me? Folks, I can't say what Peter said, but I guarantee you he was a cussing. Why? He didn't want to be identified with Jesus Christ. I fit the profile for the Lord. I was a Gentile walking in my flesh, fulfilling the desires and the lust of my flesh daily, constantly, as long as my mind could stay awake. And someone just comes along and preaches the gospel. My cousin going to church at that time, him and his wife. Why don't you come to church? We're out there in Denham Springs. I'm on the east side of Baton Rouge on Old Hammond. Why don't you come to church? We're out there in Denham Springs, about a 10-minute drive if you drive slow, which I did. Okay. Well, I'll go to this church, huh? I go there. And just from Obed's preaching, I could tell there was a difference here. This ain't the same that I've been running from and not wanting to have any part of. Entrusted the Lord. Have you? Are you a church hopper? Have you ever trusted in the Lord? Just settled it right here, right now. You know what we don't teach here? That you got to sell all that you have. You have to forsake a job. You have to follow Jesus and keep the faith until your death, because they're going to put you to death. That's this ministry. That's what these preachers out here are preaching today. And their people don't even know it. Their people don't even know it, you understand? And then we come along and preach the grace of God, and they want to tap in on other little gold nuggets, but boy, don't let them grab a hold of once saved, always saved. Boy, we're not going to take it to that extreme. That's for you devil people over there. No, folks over here, once they followed, they couldn't turn back. If they turn back, they don't possess their soul. Over here, we hear the gospel. What's the good news? Christ died for our sins. He was buried and raised again. When we hear that and believe it, as I did in 1980, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. When the Lord descends from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, we'll be called up there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's hard to contain yourself on that news, my friends. I'm looking for the great escape. I'm looking to get out of this world. It came today. It couldn't come quick enough. Because I got tall grass in my yard I got to go cut. But then again, if I tell you I'm taking a vow of poverty, maybe someone will show up there with a lawnmower, huh? That is grace. That's claiming I live in the dispensation of grace. Don't hold your breath. Oh, I tell you. Well, where you at in this thing? I will never preach following Jesus because we can't do it. I don't do it. Nobody's doing it. Okay? But we can follow Jesus according to Paul. It's a ministry that can be done. Matter of fact, Paul says, if a man don't work, he ought not eat. Huh? We've forsaken all to follow you. That's right. You've got to endure to the end to keep your soul. If a man don't work, he ought not eat. So if he don't work, let him go hungry. Paul, when he was at Corinth, those Corinthians did not support him. And so while he was at Corinth, you know what he did? He didn't just count on the Lord to drop manna down from heaven or pop a stream coming out of a rock, as in the children of Israel coming out of Egypt in the wilderness. You know what he did? He did what his occupation was. And what is that? He was a tent maker. So when they didn't support him, he had to take the time that God gave him to preach. And because the Corinthians didn't support him, he began mending tents. But he used it to his advantage because he met a couple there, a young couple there. He witnessed to them, and they wound up becoming some of the strongest helpers in his ministry. Aquila and Priscilla, read about it. You see, Paul worked when he had to work to bring the income in. Over here, take no thought. Over here, I'm a little hungry. They're not supporting me, Lord, so I'm going to mend a tent or two. Folks, this thing is so, as the British would say, so bloody different that you can't miss it unless you want to miss it. It's laid out there in black and white. And the most beautiful thing about it is the truth of the gospel, as I was saying earlier. Because when I trusted in Jesus Christ and I had that hope of salvation buried within me, buddy, I knew something at that point in time. We ain't playing church no more. This ain't church no more. This is the real deal. You understand? All the other is a facade. It's the storefront window. People get upset because they say, well, he's just putting down other religions. I'm putting down what they teach in those religions. And it's not the truth of the Word. Trust me. If you knew this book more solidly, you'd understand that. But just what we covered in this time right here taught some people some things that they hadn't seen in their entire life. And that's where I was, ignorant of this book. You know, you see me, after many years being in this thing, far too long, seems like, when I came into this thing, I didn't own a Bible, hadn't read the Bible, knew nothing about the Bible. I'll never forget the first class I went to. I forgot the guy's name that was teaching it, as a matter of fact. And they were in Philippians. So I had this Bible, Living Word. I got corrected real quick. He said, we're in Philippians. Didn't know me. I just sat there. Philippians. I always thought it just was one book with chapter 1 going to chapter 300 or something. Philippians? So I'm over there pretending, oh yeah, oh God. And Beth, my cousin's wife, sitting next to me goes, I knew that. I just, pages stuck together. Shows me Philippians. The entire time, I'm thinking of Filipinos. I'm telling you, I didn't know. I'm thinking, Philippines? And he preaches on that. I couldn't tell you one word that he said from that point on. But that's irrelevant. What I want you to understand is it was a struggle to even find the books in the Bible for me. And we're not talking about all the little prophet books back there and stuff. I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's where I came from. And folks, I'm not that advanced now. Matter of fact, I'm rather ignorant concerning this book. But this thing I do know, that if anybody trusts in Jesus Christ, they're saved, they're forgiven, and they're sealed unto the day of redemption. I know that for a fact. Do you know that? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Don't leave this assembly today not trusting in Jesus Christ. I can guarantee you life through Christ. I can't guarantee you're going to live through this day. Trust in the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your magnificent, amazing grace. We pray now, Lord, if there's any here that had never trusted in Jesus Christ, that the conviction be so great upon them that they would humble themselves and put their faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Be saved and have the hope of the glory that the rest of the saints have, looking forward to that glorious appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we do serve a risen Savior, and He's alive today in us and working through us. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.